Hello there, my name is Ahin Chakraborty. I'm the pastor here at Agape Community Church. I wanted to thank you for choosing to listen to this recorded copy of today's message. You know, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 10 verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. May your faith be strengthened as you listen to this recorded message.
It's not the greatest gift. It's the greatest gift. I think in transition, when we did the slides and when it went to the computer, in transition, font size might have changed it to the greatest gift, but it is the greatest gift. Today's message title is Greatest Gift. I'm glad that I could provide some comic relief even before I started speaking this morning. So there, that's the laugh for you and for the entire sermon, because it's going to be very, very... No, I'm just kidding. It's not going to be sad, because there is no sadness in Christmas. How many are with me? There is no sadness in Christmas. Even the Grinch... Of course, it's a fake story. Of course, it's a movie. But even the Grinch later on found joy and happiness. See, the Christmas has been so commercialized. Before I came into this country, I did not know that Christmas means a frenzy. I did not know that Christmas means... You go buy tons of gifts, you spend all your money, you save all your money throughout the year if you can, and then you go spend all your money so that someone can compare your gifts with the others. I'm painting a very bleak picture, I know, but Christmas is more than that. There is no place of sadness in Christmas, because Christmas... The reason for Christmas is Christ in itself. So this morning we are going to talk about the greatest gift. Now, all of you know how our country is doing currently, the current state of our country. Analysis and reports and analysts are saying that no one is spending any money. No one is doing anything. They're saying people are more in despair, people are in anxiety, people are suffering from anxiety, people are suffering from, people are very, very depressed. Because they know they wouldn't be able to give enough gifts this year. Or there's a possibility they may not even receive any gifts. But when I read that, I am reminded of a Christmas that my parents, my sisters, and I celebrated back in India quite a few years ago. A couple of years after my parents had given their life to Christ and I had given my life to Christ. It was a Christmas that had nothing. We didn't have anything, no gifts, very less money, nothing to buy. Normally in India, you don't just go to the mall and buy clothes. You buy clothes on special occasions. You get new clothes as gifts on special occasions like Christmas and for Hindus and other religious groups, other people groups, for their holidays, their religious holidays or special holidays. But this Christmas, nothing, not a single thing was bought for anyone in our family. Fruitcake has become a joke in this country, but fruitcake is pretty big in India. Fruitcake is part of Christmas. We don't call people fruitcake to denote a negative term. If we call anyone ever a fruitcake, it means you're really special, you're good. You know, there was no money to buy any fruitcake. No money to buy any oranges. Because fruitcakes and oranges are part of Christmas in India. Like trees and lights and other stuff are part of Christmas here, it's different. But we had enough money to eat that day. We had enough money to eat all the meals that day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We didn't have to worry about what we are going to eat the next day. To me, that was one of the best Christmas I ever had. Because we sat down, we read the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus. And we all prayed. We all sat together, we read the story, we all prayed and thanked God for what we have in our lives. We have Him, even though we don't have a lot. But then, I came to this country about 4 years ago, 4.5. And I saw almost everyone, not everyone, a lot of people have a lot of things. On Christmas, we have a lot of things. Big, huge, small gifts, lots of food, lots of people getting together, family, and all we are talking about is how the chicken crossed the road. Is that Christmas? Is that what the true meaning of Christmas? Lee Strobel tells a story, a true story. Lee Strobel, he's an investigative journalist. He used to write for, Tom and Maureen and Heather are going to like this, Chicago Tribune. He used to write for Chicago Tribune. He tells a story of the Delgados. And it's a story about a grandmother and her two 11-year-old granddaughters, Lydia and Jenny. He had heard about the Delgados and how their roach-infested tenement, their house that they had, the rented house had burnt down, and he had heard about them because of this fire, and so he wanted to visit them and see how they're doing. So he went to this house, a two-apartment house, very small two-apartment house, and he says as he walked in, he saw that all there was, a table, all that there was, no furniture, nothing, a table. And on the table, a bowl of rice. And that's all the Delgados had on Christmas Eve. Lydia and Jenny had two sleeveless dresses. Each one had one sleeveless dress. And they had a sweater that they would wear, taking turns. Lydia will wear it from the house to halfway through the school, and then she will take it off and give it to her shivering sister. So she would wear it from halfway point to the rest of the school. But when Lee walked in to their house, even though the Delgados didn't have anything but a small table, and on that small table, a bowl of rice to celebrate Christmas Eve. He saw there was an air of peace and joy. despite their poverty and the painful arthritis that kept Perfecta from working, she still talked confidently about her faith in Jesus. She was convinced he had not abandoned them. Lee writes, "I never sensed despair or self-pity in her home. Instead, there was a gentle feeling of hope and peace." So what did Lee do? Lee wrote an article about the Delgados in Chicago Tribune and forgot. But then the next Christmas, this was not on Christmas Eve. This was a couple of weeks before Christmas Eve. But then he wrote that article, and then on Christmas Eve he had nothing to do. There was no news to report on. So, and he remembered Delgados, and he's like, you know, let me take a ride and go visit them. As he walked in, he saw that the readers of the Chicago Tribune had responded so well, responded to this story. They had sent tons of food, tons of furniture, and almost $3,000 in cash. But he says, "As I was surprised by this outpouring, I was even more astonished by what my visit was interrupting. Perfecta and her granddaughters were getting ready to give away much of their newfound wealth. When I asked Perfecta why, she replied in halting English, 'Our neighbors are still in need. We cannot have plenty while they have nothing. This is what Jesus would want us to do.'" When Lee asked her about all these largesse, all these things that were sent to them, she said, "This is wonderful. This is very good," she said, gesturing toward the largesse. "We did nothing to deserve this. It's a gift from God." If we can put that up on the screen so everyone can see that. As I was reading this, by the way, this is from the book, The Case for Christmas. I got it last year, never read it, but this year, as I was cleaning my house, I picked it up, and I read the first sentence, and I knew this is a book I must read. She said, "We did nothing to deserve this. It's a gift from God," but she said, "It is not His greatest gift. No, we celebrate that tomorrow. That is Jesus." To her, this child in the manger was the undeserved gift that meant everything. More than material possessions, more than comfort, more than security. And at that moment, something inside of me wanted desperately to know this Jesus, Lee writes. "They had peace despite poverty, while I had anxiety despite plenty. They knew the joy of generosity, while I only knew the loneliness of ambition. They looked heavenward for hope, while I only looked out for myself. They experienced the wonder of the spiritual, while I was shackled to the shallowness of the material. And something made me long for what they had. And something made me long for what they had." I love Christmas not because I can get gifts. Gifts are good. I love Christmas because what it did to mankind, what it did to humanity. We have a video to show you. It's from the movie The Nativity Story. As you watch the video, ponder on the words. It's like 55 seconds to a minute. Ponder on the words.
These shepherds, they live alone most of their lives.
Your woman looks cold. I will tell our child about you, about your kindness.
My father told me a long time ago that we are all given something, a gift. Your gift is what you carry inside.
What was your gift?
He wanted to stop there abruptly. What is your gift? What is your gift? What is my gift that I have this Christmas? What is the gift that we can offer to people? Is it something from Walmart? Old Navy? Don't want to really say it, but Spencer's? Or who knows what, Home Depot? Is that it? What is your gift this Christmas? This Christmas, you and I have the greatest gift that ever given to mankind. This Christmas, you and I have the greatest gift that we can give anyone. Our country, this country, is marked with decadence in every facet of our culture, every facet of our lifestyle. And even as Christians, we have at times given into that. And I believe that one of the times we give into that is Christmas. But we need to change, not because the economy has changed. We need to go beyond that, not because it's tough times. Jesus came into a tough time. Jesus came to a nation. Just think about that. We are not even there. Jesus came to a nation under bondage to another foreign nation, enslaved. No possession was their possession. Their own leaders, their kings and leadership only looked for what is good for them. They wanted to fill their coffers with the gold of the people. Their spiritual leaders, religious leaders, all they wanted was how they could look good in the sight of people. They did not care about their spirituality. They did not care about where the people are going. But Jesus came into a nation that was in so much despair, so much lacking. And we think, our nation, we think that, I hope you don't think that we are, it's true that things are lean. It's true that things are not as it used to be. But that is not the reason we should change the way we look at Christmas. The reason we should look at Christmas differently is because it was a gift for all. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11 says, when the angels came and they proclaimed, they declared, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Now, you have this gift in you, and that's why we are here, I believe. If you didn't have it, you probably wouldn't be here. You have Jesus in your life. But what about those outside? What about those that do not have the greatest gift that a man or a woman, a teenager, a boy, a girl can ever receive in their entire lifetime? What's the good news just for those shepherds? If you read on, the shepherds just did not receive that good news. They wanted to check it out. They went and checked it out. They saw Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. And then what did they do? They went out and told anyone and everyone that they came across, they came in contact with, and people were amazed. The greatest gift that this Christmas you can have or you can give is the presence of Christ in your life. It's the relationship with Christ. It's your investment in relationship, in growing with Christ. It's your effort to tell someone who does not know Christ, who does not know what it means to receive that free, yet the greatest gift ever given to humanity. That's what you and I can do. I have decided that that's the best gift I can give anyone. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." I didn't want to make this another Christmas story message that we just read from. There is nothing wrong reading the Christmas story again and again and again, because we need repetition to remember. But this is beyond just that Christ was born. Christ not only was born, He died and He rose again. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So think about this. Either this Christmas, someone is going to get a gift of life or death. Because the wages of sin is death. If they do not have the greatest gift ever given to mankind, they will have the worst gift that mankind ever received, wages of sin. And the responsibility lies in your and my hand. As Jesus says, go into the world and tell people. This is not a guilt trip. This is not to make you feel bad. This is not to make you feel how wretched I am. This is not for me and you to now go home and say, you know, what am I going to do? This is not to make you not buy stuff for your loved ones. This is not to make you not give a gift, but to think twice what has become our focus and how we can help someone change their focus. The Delgados didn't have much. The Chakraborty's didn't have much. I didn't intend to share my story. We didn't have much. But that was one of the best Christmas, because we realized what was most important. It is not the gifts, the fruitcakes or oranges. It is Christ in us, in our lives. It is Christ who was God, who is God, gave up to be God, did not hold Himself to be equal with God, but emptied Himself, took human form, went through the same kinds of temptation and suffering that we have, yet came out sinless so He could die for our place, in our place, and we may live. John chapter 16 verse 33 says, "I have told you these things so that in Me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Your situation, your current situation might be very troublesome. Your current situation might be, you know, you might be jobless. You might not be earning as much. You might have trouble at home with your kids, in your marriage. I don't know. All the things that you might be going through. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus came so he could overcome the world and give us strength to overcome the world. I have told you these things so that in me, in no one else, in not our material possessions, in not our gifts, in not our houses, our cars, our spouse, our kids, our children, our pets, whatever it is. It's not in those things. But it is in me, Jesus says, that you may have peace. Are you looking for peace? Looking for joy? I was troubled a couple of weeks ago. But God works in a very miraculous way. I was troubled in regard to my parents. Only a handful of people know. Actually, only my wife knew that I was troubled. And then I shared with another person. But God works in miraculous ways. So Jesus, today, Jesus is saying to each and every one, those who are here, those who will be listening to this recorded message, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The greatest gift that you can receive this year as you celebrate Christmas is Jesus Christ. Because he has overcome the world and he wants you and me to overcome this world. And we can only have peace in Jesus and not in anything else. I'm going to repeat that again. We can only have peace in Jesus Christ and not in anything else. Not in our houses, not in our cars, not in our spouse, our children, our kid, our job. Name it, whatever it is. Because he who had it all gave it up so we may have his life. So this Christmas, what is your gift? What is it? Is it the greatest gift that humanity ever received? Or is it just a store-bought trinket that next year you will not know how to use it? That's the question I have for myself. And that's the question I leave you with. The solution is right there. To have and to hold and to give the greatest gift that ever was given to mankind, that Christ Jesus died for our sins and he rose again so we may all live. Amen.
Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's the Gospel of John chapter 10 verse 10. In Revelation 3:20, he also says, Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Have you discovered the joy and peace of personally accepting Jesus' invitation to eternal life? Perhaps you have believed in the existence of God and His Son and have tried to live a good life, but have never consciously invited Him to be your Savior and Lord. No matter who you are or what you have done, at this very moment, you too can make the decision of a lifetime. Right now, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. He offers you the same wonderful life which millions through the centuries have received with life-changing results. He has already paid the penalty for your sin. He is asking you, in the quiet of your heart, to put your trust in Him. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Would you like to accept Jesus' invitation to life? You can receive Jesus Christ right now by faith through prayer. God knows your heart and is not so concerned with your words as He is with the attitude of your heart. Millions of people all around the world have already found new life in Christ. Following is a suggested prayer. If you want, you can repeat after me or pray in your own words. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to know You personally. Thank You for dying on the cross for my sins and for rising from the dead. I open the door of my life and receive You as my Savior and Lord. I trust You now to forgive my sins and give me eternal life. Please make me the kind of person You want me to be. Congratulations! If you just prayed this prayer, you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We at Agape Community Church would like to send you a new believer's kit to help you grow in Christ. Please email us today at info@agapemansfield.org to receive your new believer's kit. It is important that you read the Bible daily and do what it says. Talk to God about everything. Trust Him in every detail of your life. Obey Him moment by moment and tell your friends about Jesus. We would love to have you visit our church. Also, feel free to contact us at Agape Community Church anytime if you have questions, prayer requests, or if you'd like to know more about our church. You can contact us at info@agapemansfield.org. We can't wait to hear from you.